The potter took the clay and made a vessel. With his hand he put it in place. You could not see all the broken pieces, all the scars the potter erased. For I am the clay, and he is the potter, and I know what I used to be. Yes, I know the hand of the potter, and I know what he's done for me. I was made in the image of Jesus. My soul has been satisfied. Jesus has made me a new creation. In his love, I'll ever abide. For I am the clay, and he is the potter, and I know what I used to be. Yes, I know the hand of the potter, and I know what he's done for me. Yes, I know the hand of my potter, and I know what he's done for me.
You'll appreciate it. Philippians 4. That's in the New Testament, what we know as the New Testament. You'll find it more than halfway through. So if you'll find Acts, Romans, keep turning to your right. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, you'll come to the book of Philippians and go to chapter 4. We'll be in a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Good to have Ben's brother with us this morning from out in Iowa. And good to have Ben and Mary back, of course, with baby Caroline. And so thankful for their being here this morning. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. If you're able to, that's fine if you're not. But I'm going to begin reading in verse number 6. Very, very familiar passage here. Philippians 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I want to speak this morning on the subject, our PTO for peace. PTO is an acronym. Our PTO for peace. We'll get into it in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in an assembly this morning of people who are saved by the blood of Christ. And we hold a Bible in our hand that you've given us, Lord, that you have magnified above all your name. And we get to hear it this morning read. We get to sing it. And now we get to hear preaching from it. I don't want to do the preaching today. I want you to do it through me. Would you please speak to our hearts? Fill both speaker and listener with your spirit. And Lord, help us to learn what your book teaches about this matter of peace in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our PTO for peace. What is a PTO? Well, it probably has several different meanings as far as an acronym goes, but as I know it, as I mostly refer to it, the initials stand for power takeoff. Power takeoff. Now, a common place to find a PTO stub or shaft is on a tractor. A farmer has his tractor. He also has implements that allow him to accomplish some tasks using the power, the engine power of the tractor. The power generated by the tractor engine is converted to rotation so the implement can do what they were designed to do. Case in point would be a bush hog. It's a large, huge mower that a farmer pulls behind his tractor. The implement of the bush hog has no power of its own to generate, to turn those blades around so that the farmer can mow his weeds. The power that the bush hog operates under comes from the tractor, the engine of the tractor, and it's transferred through the PTO, the power takeoff. That's a very simple explanation. I'm sure there are men here, engineer-minded men, who could do a much better job than that. But if you hook up your bush hog to the PTO shaft on your tractor, you'll find out that you can mow your weeds. How's that? All right? And anyway, it works. Now, Paul the Apostle, so I want you to hold that thought about PTO there, okay? Power takeoff, all right? Now, the Apostle Paul lived in a disturbing world that was enveloped by wickedness. I mean, horrible. Nero was the emperor of Rome toward the end of Paul's ministry, and history says that it was Nero who ordered the execution of the Apostle Paul. Paul was often under pressure. During his ministry, we would say in modern vernacular that Paul endured a lot of stress, okay? And when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're not going to go there today, but you get a sampling of the stressful situations that he encountered, all right? In spite of both cultural, ministerial, personal health pressure and stress, Paul spoke often of peace. Often of peace. He began and ended several of the letters that God gave us through his pen. The salutation and the benediction of the same letter is about peace. Don't turn to these. Let me just give you Romans 1:7 and Romans 15:33. He begins and ends with peace. 2 Corinthians 1 and 2 Corinthians 13 begins and ends with peace. Galatians 1 and chapter 6, in both the beginning of the book and the end, he speaks of peace. Same thing is true about Ephesians. Same thing is true about Philippians. Same thing is true about 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. In his salutation, his opening remarks in chapter 1, he talks about peace. In his benediction somewhere toward the end of the book, he mentions peace. Peace. Peace characterized Paul's life, even in the face of personal and ministerial and political turmoil. And we talked about this a little bit at the presentation of our Christmas program back in December. You can't put a price tag on peace. Can't put a price tag on peace. Now, things aren't terribly different in our world today. Articles and stories about increased crime, inflation, shortages, mandates, all of these things going on, coupled with unexpected twists and turns in our own personal lives. You know what they do? They create an opportunity for pressure, for stress to overwhelm us. And people, you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Stress can be physically dangerous. Physically dangerous. Paul learned how to have peace, not through some psychic, not through some psychiatrist, or through pills. Paul learned how to find peace from God, his Father. He learned. Now, there's some beautiful language in this passage. I mean, beautiful. Look at verse number 7. Look at the end of verse number 7. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, the beginning of verse 7. I'm sorry. And the peace of God. Okay, then look at the end of verse number 9. The God of peace. So in verse 7, you got the peace of God. In verse 9, you got the God of peace. People, that's not a repeat, just worded differently. It's one thing to have the peace of God dispensed to us. It's something else to have the God of peace with us. It's wonderful to have the peace of God in us. I submit to you, it's better to have the God of peace with us. You can double up on peace. Put it in terms of money. Maybe in light of a trip around the world, you have two options. Bill Gates will give you $100,000 to use for a trip around the world, or Bill Gates will accompany you on a trip around the world and pay for everything. So you say, well, I don't really know that I would care for the company of Bill Gates, so I'll just take the money and I'll get along. Well, what if some uncircumstance comes up on the trip that would eat up all the $100,000, and then you're halfway around the world from home and you're left footing the bill for the rest of the trip? That might be a little difficult, right? But if Gates goes with you, he travels with you everywhere you go. He would be by your side all day while you are sightseeing, while you're shopping, while you're eating, while you're checking into hotels and out of hotels. His presence, in my opinion, would be more advantageous than just his gift of money. Paul said when it comes to peace, we can have both the peace of God and the God of peace. You can have the peace that God dispenses and the God who dispenses the peace. And how is that so? And that's where our PTO comes into play. We have a PTO, a power takeoff, that implements the peace of God and allows the God of peace to be with us. And I didn't put this in the message, but let me just say up front, there is nothing this world offers that can create the peace that God can give us. Nothing. Zip, zero. Nothing. Okay? So we're talking here about something that's absolutely priceless. The peace of God, the God of peace. How do you implement the peace of God and the God of peace to give us the power to live with peace in a chaotic world? Number one, P stands for pray. That's simple, isn't it? P stands for pray. Look at verse number 6. Here's what Paul wrote. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. So how we approach life's difficulties will determine if we enjoy the peace of God and the God of peace. And when I say life's difficulties, I mean all kinds of difficulties. Isn't it wonderful that God is not limited to only one or two types of trouble? Isn't it wonderful that God is not limited at all by any means whatsoever? God can give us peace and be with us, and we can have the God of peace in all life's difficulties and struggles. All of them. Personal struggles. Governmental struggles. Health. Financial. Vocational. Pressures of all kinds. All kinds of situations that create stress. All kinds of them. Pressures that build stress in our life. If it's not us, it's going on in the life of someone we love. And because we love them so deeply, if we're not careful, we'll get stressed. Pressure. The command is don't be full of care. Look at it again. Be careful for most things. It's not what the book says. Be careful for no thing. For nothing. Don't be full of care. What is care? What is being full of? That's worry that leads to stress, which can kill people. Now you think about that. So we're talking about matters of life and death here. And Paul wrote, God writing through Paul, don't be full of care about anything. Well, what do I do with this situation? What do I do with this issue, this problem? Take everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Come on. Everything. Trouble at work. Everything. Personal health. Everything. Don't stop short of taking anything to God in prayer. Take everything to God in prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is asking. That's what it is. So you talk to your Heavenly Father. Lord, this concerns me. I'm tempted to be anxious about this. I'm tempted. I feel myself getting stressed out about this. To our friends. We talk on Facebook. We talk on the phone. Take it to Him. We take it to everybody but Him. So ask. It didn't even stop there. He went on to say, by prayer and supplication. What is supplication? It's strong asking, bordering on begging. So there's heart with this. It's not just, hey, God, could you take care of this? There's heart in it. There's emotion in it. There's feeling in it. Oh, God, it's a broken voice, a choked throat, a heavy heart. Oh, God, could you please help with this? Could you please help? Folks, and remember, nothing is too big or too small for God's attention. Listen, God wrote in His book about spiders. He wrote in His book about ants. Ants. He wrote in His book about sparrows. And all those are very small creatures. He also wrote in His book about behemoth, that large dinosaur. What am I saying? There's nothing that escapes His care and compassion, large or small. Take everything to Him in prayer. Talk to Him, asking Him, begging Him for help with whatever your cares concern. But now, wait a minute. A very critical thing I pointed out before to you, those of you that have been here, that He doesn't stop with prayer and supplication. Look at it. Prayer and supplication with what, church? Thanksgiving. So you've got this heavy load, heavy burden, heavy care, heavy concern. It's heavy to the point where you're asking God and you're a little bit emotional about it and your heart's in it. It's heavy. And God, would you please? And then Paul says, somehow, some way, after you ask and after you ask strongly, you find some reason to give Him thanks for the concern. Now, here's our problem. I've said this before. If I have three components and my desired result is the number three, I can't do one plus one. One plus one does not equal three. It has to be one plus one plus one equals three. Prayer plus supplication plus thanksgiving equals peace. Well, I just don't know how. Yeah, aren't you glad you've got a God that can still meet your need even when you don't know how He can do it? I kind of like a God like that. I've used the illustration before. I just think it's tremendous about Matthew Henry, who wrote the commentaries. A lot of you have Matthew Henry's commentaries in your library, and they're good books. They're not inspired, but they're helpful. And Matthew Henry was robbed. And this was his testimony. He said, after he was robbed, he was thankful for four reasons. It was the first time he'd ever been robbed. He was thankful. Second reason, even though they got everything he had, they didn't take his life. Third reason, even though they got everything he had, it wasn't that much. And then the best of all, it just amazes me. He was thankful that he was the one who got robbed instead of the one who robbed. You reckon you can find something to be thankful for in spite of your care? How about just the fact that there is a Father on a throne reigning and residing over the creation of everything who will listen to your concerns? You ever get upset with somebody because they just wouldn't listen to you? Ladies, don't answer, please. Hey, seriously, listen. You'll never have that problem with God. Now, there are some things in life that will hinder God from hearing our prayers. We got to make sure our lives are right. Okay? But if you're trying to live for God and you've got a concern about anything, anxious about nothing, pray about everything. Now, that's what he said. That's what he said in this book right here. And he said that God will dispense peace. Look at it in verse number six, and the peace, seven, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep. See that word keep right there? You know what it means? It means to mount guard. It's like a sentinel guarding a fort. The Bible says God will mount guard, keeping safe and protected our heart and mind. God will bring peace to our emotions. God will bring peace to our thoughts. And he will do this through Christ Jesus. God will not give us a peace that just barely scratches the surface of our care and concern. God will dispense a peace to our emotions and to our thoughts that passes all understanding. How can this be? Look, if your spouse, your parents, your child, your friends know anything about what is causing you concern, and you've obeyed this, you have prayed, and you've made supplication, and you've given God thanks, then God dispenses peace to your heart, your mind, your emotions, your thoughts. And this is what they say about you. I have no idea how he or she can have such peace in their circumstances. It's unexplainable. But how many things about our God are unexplainable? And that's wonderful. He's so big, he cannot be explained simply by human terms and human thinking. So the first letter of PTO, if I'm going to implement the peace of God and the God of peace, I must pray. All right, number two. The letter T stands for think. Think. All right? Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, I'm not going to read all of those things that he mentions here. Get all the way down to the end of verse number 8, and he says, think on these things. Think on your problem. Think on your care. Think on your concern. Think on the struggle. Think on the... Is that what he says? Now, what am I supposed to do? Just ignore it completely? No, it's not. No, you have to give time to it. You have to give some prudence to it. But at the same time, it cannot dominate your thinking. Our God dispenses peace to our emotions and thoughts. And we have to fill the vacuum of our thinking. Prior to praying and begging and thanking God, we had thoughts that prohibited peace. Thoughts that contributed to stress. Now, after God dispenses his peace, Our thoughts need to be disciplined. Our focus has to be redirected from the cares to the things that are on this list in this verse. Folks, it depends. How much confidence do you and I place in this book right here? Look at the first two. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. True and honest. I wonder how much anxiety and care that leads to stress is the result of us thinking about something that isn't true. Or just a lie. And sometimes what we hear is not true. Someone's not honest with us, or it's terribly exaggerated, or somebody can just say something callously. A lady in the church, this is some months ago, not recently, but some months ago. I can't remember what in the world they went to the doctor for, but they went to the doctor for a checkup, I guess. And this doctor was just, I suppose, a good doctor, maybe poor bedside manners. Yeah, they found something here. Well, what is it? Well, I don't know. Could be anything. Got to run some tests. Maybe this, maybe that, could be this, could be this. Probably could even be cancer. So we'll schedule a test. All right. See you later. Pay up front. There was no cancer. No trace of it. Why did a man do that? Or a lady, I don't know what it was. One female, I don't know. Oh, cancer. I'm not suggesting the lady did this. I'm just saying the potential is there. You hear something that's not even true, and it dominates your thinking. And guess what it does? It grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, you're laying awake at 4 o'clock in the morning and your mind's running like crazy. And what if, and I do this, what if I happen here? And what if I do this? I guess some doctors, I'm not anti-doctor. I have a doctor I see. Probably go to him this month, get a physical. But honestly, some of this stuff that's out there is ridiculous, you know. Do you ever feel scared at night? Do you this and do you that? And do you ever have a suicidal thought? Now, maybe you're not like me. But have you ever been driving down the road just minding your own business, and here comes a semi at you, 60 miles, 70 miles an hour, and you think, what would it be like if I pulled over in front of that semi? Well, it probably wouldn't be very good, okay? So where did that thought come from? Where did that come from? Am I suicidal? I don't think so. I enjoy life. And then the truck goes by and goes, and I'm glad I didn't do that. Amen. So. You know why we have stupid thoughts like that, folks? Because we're human. And we have an old sin nature. And I want to tell you something. Especially if you're saved, you got a devil who hates you. And if you're not saved, the sooner you die, the quicker you go to hell. Well, you better go see a psychiatrist. People, can I say this? Before you do that, you got a few men here and ladies who might be of help to you. And I'm not a know-it-all pastor. And I will tell you what, this guy right here and this guy right here are good men and have handled situations, talking to people about heavy things, and done a wonderful job. Not because any of us are exceptionally smart, but we do know a little bit about the principles of this book right here. We got to think right. We got to think right. Don't think on things that are unjust. What's that like? Like right now in our world where evil, so much evil is being called good and so much good is being called evil. Like where certain people get different treatment than other people based on their political beliefs. Now look, you can think on that all you want to. You can think on that to the place that your stomach is tight and you're mad. That's what he's saying. Don't think on those things. Give them a cursory glance. That's not fair. But get your mind on something else. Think on the good things. Think on things that are clean, holy, righteous, pure. Think on things that are lovely and of good report. If there's something virtuous, if there's something praiseworthy about it, think on it. If not, you know what you ask God to do? You ask God to capture that thought and dismiss it from your mind. I've mentioned before what I think about when I'm having trouble falling asleep. I think about a baseball game. I love baseball, favorite sport. I think about the stadium. I think about walking up the ramp and walking out to where the seats are and looking out on that field. That's the grass is so green. Everything just looks so crisp. And I'm thinking about this, the crack of the bat hitting the ball and the smack of the ball hitting the glove and the buzz in the stands. And, man, I'll even squat down behind the plate and I'm the catcher. And here comes the pitch. And I know what you really think like that, Pastor? Isn't that kind of silly to think like that, to try to go to sleep? Well, what's sillier, thinking myself to sleep as I think about something wholesome and decent, or thinking myself into a frenzy as I think about something that's not true, not honest, not just, not pure, not virtuous, not praiseworthy, and toss and turn all night? You tell me what's better. So if you don't like baseball, find something that's lovely. Find something that just thrills your heart. Get your mind on it. Think about those things. Our thoughts must be focused. We must give attention to that about which we are thinking. This is our PTO. This is our power takeoff that enables the peace of God to be dispensed to us and the God of peace to be with us. What do I do? I pray. What do? I think. Biblically. O, number three, the letter O, stands for obey. Look at it in verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's the next word, folks? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul told the Philippian people to obey the things they had learned by observation, heard, received by instruction, heard by the ear, and seen with the eye. Whatever you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. You know what Paul was? Paul was a man who modeled a life that results in peace. It characterized his life. It was vitally important to him in a world ruled by Nero, in a ministry that was often ruled by difficulty, with a body that was sometimes racked with poor health. Paul experienced peace. And God took Paul's life and he made it a model for the Philippian people so that Paul could say, look, what you've learned and heard and received and heard and seen in me, just do it. It works for me. God's not a partial God. These aren't some psychiatrist's methodology. These are principles of truth. God's truth. So just do them. It'll work for you. Now, we obviously cannot hear or see the life of Paul in real time, but we have a book that is the Word of God, and the Word has been magnified above all God's name. And in this Word is Paul's clear instruction about experiencing the peace of God and the God of peace. Obedience to God will help us have both. You know what we want? We want some great zap from heaven to strike us and plant peace in our hearts and minds. That's not going to happen, folks. We want to crack open a bottle and take pills or drink from it or smoke or get high so I can get rid of this stress. It's not like that. We pray, we think, and we obey. That's much cheaper than cracking open a bottle. That's much cheaper than running out and buying another ounce bag of marijuana. Amen. That's right. And that's only going to be temporary. This is principle truth. We're like Naaman. Remember Naaman went to Elisha for his leprosy? Go down and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. What? Dip in the water? I expected him to come out and pray and say, oh, God of Israel, strike this man and cleanse him of his leprosy. Yeah, ma! That's what he wanted. And his servants came to him. He got mad. Remember that? He got mad. Packed his bags, took his toys, and was going home. And a leper, like he came. And his servants went to him and said, good grief, Naaman. If the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much easier to go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times? Come on. And he did. And guess what happened? He came up clean. And if you and I will pray and think and obey, look, that PTO shaft on the tractor transfers the energy and motion from the engine to the implement. The implement has no power of its own. The implement is feeding off the power from the tractor. I don't have any power. You don't have any power. I don't have enough energy. You don't have enough energy sufficient in ourselves to control all the potential stress. But there's one who can. And we can have the peace of God and the God of peace. A fellow by the name of Walter Baxendale, he was sightseeing on the plains of Waterloo. There was this great bronze statue that had been of a lion. And it had been made from the captured guns from Britain's foes in 1815. And so this big bronze statue, and the lion's mouth is wide open. And the snarling, you can picture it, through his teeth, looking out over the former battlefield. And Baxendale is up close looking at this statue, and a bird had built a nest in the mouth right by one of those large fangs in that angry beast. He said that twigs from the nest hung down beside one of those fangs, and Baxendale listened. And he heard the peaceful chirping of baby birds at rest in the nest that was located in the mouth of the snarling lion. And people, when life snarls at us, you and I can rest in the nest, chirping peacefully. Through the peace of God and the God of peace. Is life snarling at you right now? Some situation, something you're experiencing, anywhere, anything. Is life snarling at you right now? You got a PTO. You got a power takeoff. Pray, think, obey. Pray, think, obey. And by the way, it all starts with Christ Jesus. So if you're in this room this morning and Christ is not your personal Savior, none of this applies, because it's all through Christ. Through Christ, through Christ, through Christ. And if you want to know real peace, friend, you come to Christ Jesus, trust Him as your Savior, and that opens the door for you to have the peace of God and the God of peace. Now, what kind of price tag are you going to put on that? What kind of price tag are you going to put on that? Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your book. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for all it teaches us. And I ask that today the Spirit of God would reach out to the heart that needs this the most. And Lord, if we don't need it right now, if we're pretty well stress-free, we'll probably need it next week or the month after or whatever it is. But I pray that you'd help us to think carefully this morning about life and its difficulties. Please, I pray, oh God, that you'd help your people here in this room to experience the peace of God and the God of peace. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I trust the Spirit of God spoke to our hearts today. Let me just ask a couple of questions that kind of maybe bring it home to us each individually. How many would say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message today, I believe the Spirit of God tapped on my heart, my mind, and I needed something that was said today from God's Word. Pray that I'll take advantage of the PTO. Is that you this morning? Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting? There's a lot of hands. You know why? There's a lot of pressure in life. A lot of pressure in life. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, if God was gracious enough to visit you where you are, be gracious enough to visit Him in just a moment at invitation time. The best place is at an altar on your knee. If you can bow, kneel. If you can't stand, just tell Him. What did God say to you this morning? Now, here's another question. Is there somebody here who said, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm even in the place where I can enjoy the God of peace and the peace of God because I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died today where I would spend eternity. And that concerns me. All right? If that's you, nobody's looking, myself and a couple of these men, would you just be honest enough to raise your hand where I can see it? I'm not sure where I will go when I die. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today? Member, visitor, front to back, side to side. Doesn't matter. I see your hand. God bless you. Someone else. Appreciate your honesty. Someone else. Now, in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing, or the music will play. We're going to give an invitation. If you'd like to know how to make sure that heaven is your home, we have men that can take a Bible and show men from the Bible. Ladies that can take the Bible, show ladies from the Bible how to know for sure that heaven is your home. All you need to do when the music begins, come with some of the others who will be coming this direction. Tell one of these men down here, I don't know if I'm saved. They will help you. All right? If God's working on your heart today, you're in this place, God's speaking to you, take advantage of His speaking to you today. If you're here to be baptized, like some have come, then you need to come if you haven't already. Father, work in our hearts. I pray that every attempt by the devil to persuade somebody not to act upon the message will be overcome by the power of your Spirit. So, Lord, that means if you spoke to a heart this morning, help them to respond. And especially, maybe people who don't know for sure they're going to heaven. Please draw them to yourself, I pray, oh God, in Christ's name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. The altar's open. Now's the time. Step out into the aisle. Come right down. Tell one of these men here, I'm not sure I'm saved. Spend a little time praying. Husband and wife. Saw several husband and wife. Hands go up together. Would you come today? Don't be hesitant. Don't be hesitant. Let us help you, okay? Let us help you. Let God help you today. Would you give Him that opportunity? Would you come? If eternal destiny is at stake, then you sure want to let God help you this morning. Would you come? We're not talking about joining the church or becoming a Baptist. That's not the point here. No. It's about you knowing for sure that you're saved. Would you come, please? While we wait today, while we wait. Maybe you should sit right there in your seat, reach over, grab your husband's hand, your wife's hand, and just have a prayer together. Just have a prayer together. Dear God, you know the concern, you know the care. Please help us.